Okay. I guess we are doing this from the woods.
Checking for me, no one checking on me, so I had to go run up a check. I got the message, homie, ain't no flexing on me. My attorney gon' call and collect. Blessings on blessings for me, my success has only made them envious. They got upset. I had to put all their egos in check. I want the money, the power, respect, and I heard you know so-and-so.
Money,
the
power, respect.
Cause I really know so-and-so.
What's up, everybody? Am I coming in a little hot? This is a different setup. I'm doing the mobile setup right now. And I'm trying not to get the creek water in the background, because I don't want y'all have to pee the whole time you're listening to this. I'm in the woods, 6,384 feet currently, camping tonight, April, the other A month, April 26th, it's episode 45, Take Back Your Media, aka Wookiees in the woods, Ewoks in the woods, I'm in the woods. So, if you're in the Matrix chat or the Patreon, if you're in the Matrix chat, you already saw some video and photo stuff of the behind the scenes. And I'll also be putting some stuff up on the Patreon for the Patreons, which I'm going to thank in just a minute. But I decided I wanted to start doing things, I don't know, just a little different. And I planned this camping trip specifically to test out if I could podcast from the woods. I guess the mountains, the Rockies, it's kind of woods-like, woodsy. So that's what we're doing. Just to try out some different gear, I normally record on the Rodecaster Pro, and right now I'm currently recording on the Zoom Podtrac P4, which you can pick up for like $75. I'm also recording on a different microphone and using different headphones for monitoring. So it's different for me. It might be different for you. If you can hear creek running in the background, it's probably 18 feet from me. I try to get as far away from it as possible and build a barrier, turn the mic gain down. We'll see how it goes. I'm not really sure. But if you're listening to this and went okay enough, and if I never post this, then neither of us would never know anyway, right? So anyways, thanks for tuning in, everyone. Simon for the Closed Network Privacy Podcast, episode number 45. Take Back Your Media, aka Posting in the Woods. So I've been posting, like I said, some behind-the-scenes content. I want to do some more video content as well. I think it'd be beneficial, some value add for the Patreons and Lightning Boosters. Even though the Lightning Boosters just boost, they don't necessarily go to the Patreon, and that's okay. I'm trying to find ways to provide more value where I can. I think I hear... Oh, sorry. I thought I heard a 4x4 rolling down the trail that I'm off of, which would be weird because there's only just me down here. I have some ideas that we've been talking about different things, like just recently in the last day or two, about the Go Dark bags that I use. I don't promote any specific brand because I'm incentivized to. As you know, if you don't know, this is purely listener supported. We don't shill for anyone, no company. Everything is based on... Oh, there's a jet going over too. Wow, there might be all sorts of weird noises coming in. I apologize, but it's mostly more distracting for me, I think, than probably you. But yeah, we don't take any sponsorships. We don't take any of that dirty money. You know what I'm saying? I just want that Monero. I want that digital cash. All right. So before I get too far into everything, what I'm going to talk about, what I'm going to cover is there's been some updates to Tor, the Tor browser, from 14 to 14.5. I just want to touch on that. There's actually a video from Sam Bent, who's AKA doing Fed Time, and I thought it was really insightful. He's big into Tor and I2P, interesting YouTube /podcaster. And I have a couple of links, one to Tech Radar and one on the privacy guides that discusses these changes. So I'm going to talk about that. And I'm also going to go down this little kind of, I don't know, just this other path for a minute. And that's primarily what this podcast is going to be. And it's me finding analog all over again, if that makes sense. So I'm going to talk about my self-hosting journey and advantages to owning and hosting your own media. Because something just fired up and with me in the last couple of months. And now I'm kind of reevaluating how I want to do things going forward when it comes to music and movies and TV shows and things of that nature. So I'm also going to break down my current, my self-hosting journey and my current setup and what I want to move to, like how I want to expand that and what I'm going to be using to do that. So also on this topic of kind of like ownership, now it's a broad topic, but there was a really good video by Lewis Rossman, who was the keynote, who delivered the keynote speech at the Right to Repair conference, or the Don't Be Evil conference was actually what it was, but his speech was on Right to Repair. But his talk was actually on the subject that it's actually funny because I've been kind of doing this myself, and it's nothing new, that's for sure, but then this talk came out that he just put out, and I'm turning my gain down just a little bit. I might be coming a little hot. And I found it really insightful, and I linked it in, and I'm going to touch on that. So if these kind of topics sound like your cup of tea, stick around because we're going to cover that. And before I get too far ahead, I just want to give a big shout out and thank you to the supporters, the producers of this podcast. We have some new Patreon subscribers and some Patreon subscribers who have upgraded to the Privacy Badass tier, which is really incredible. I am just overwhelmed, and I'm super excited to upgrade some gear and do some infrastructure updates. So before getting further, I just want to say thank you to Daniel J. Martin. Thank you very much. I was just looking at my notes. So Daniel J. Martin, thank you. David, Michael Bates, a longtime OG, the longest OG, Richard G., coming in, is like the longest financial supporter sustained since October 9th of 2022. You are like a gem for sure. TK, you know who you are, but I'm not going to say your name. Thank you. Mr. Milk Mustache, who doesn't love a milk mustache? I like milk. I like mustaches. I have a mustache. I have a beard. CeCe, Hutch, and Mr. Ink, thank you. You all are really, really generous, and I am really appreciative. It's a very good indicator for me that tells me people like, you know, the podcast, like the show, the community that we're building. I really appreciate it. And for the top Lightning supporters in the last 30 days, Bon coming in at top. Thank you very much, Bon. We just had some interactions the other day on Noster. Always love seeing your support come in. Also, some alphabetic characters. Thank you for your sats and Based Potato, which has got to be one of the coolest names I've ever seen. Thank you very much. And I haven't seen you pop up before in my Lightning boosters. So Wartime and some other OGs in the hood, SMR Attack, and Circus Media. So also just want to give a big shout out and thank you to our moderators, Unintelligent 7, Mattis Max. Thank you very much. We are 350 people in the Matrix chat, which is really phenomenal. And then we also have our OT chat, which is like all the dank memes, all the spicy fun goodness, and we just have a really good time there. We have a SimpleX chat group as well as we're kind of tinkering. We got a Signal chat group. It's not super lively like the other chats are, but if you want to get involved, if you want to check us out, you can just download the Element app. It's probably the easiest way. There are other Matrix clients for sure, but that's just kind of like an easy gateway drug. Just create an account, and then you can go to closednetwork.io and click join the room. It'll just kind of auto log you in. So yeah, Anyway, so I guess we'll just get into it because I'm getting, I mean, it's a little chilly. I got my Wooby on. I'm sitting out here in my camp chair. I got the camp lights up. It's currently 8:38 p.m. and so it's dark, which means the monsters come out, but I got the glizzy on the table in front of me. So we'll be okay. I mean, hopefully be okay if any bear comes out or anything like that. So all the food's put away in the refrigerator. Yeah, I have a Dometic fridge. I camp like that. So so Tor. So I don't know if you use Tor a lot, but Tor browser is probably the most common way people go on to the dark web, the dark net, whatever you want to call it, right? It's a browser where that you can, it connects to the Tor network and allows you to explore hidden services, aka websites that are not viewable on the clear net. When people say clear web or the traditional internet, that's what we're talking about as far as like, you know, Google.com and, you know, Facebook and whatever. Just normal websites. But darknet sites, or aka hidden services, are websites, just normal websites, that are only accessible through the Tor network. Now, there you don't have to use just the Tor browser, but that's the most common way. There's Hunix, there's Tails, there's Tor bridges you can set up. You can do VPNs set up for Tor. There's a lot of proxies, you know, you can set up for accessing Tor. But the simplest way is to download the Tor browser, or using a browser that has the feature set or functionality connected to the Tor network. Brave browser comes to mind, where you can launch a new window when you connect to Tor network. But traditionally, up until just recently, the HTTP headers have made all Tor users look like Windows users. And I look at that as a good privacy feature, because if everyone looks the same, it's hard to isolate an individual that you're maybe that is being looked at. And now, in this change from Tor browser 14 to 14.5, they've removed this HTTP header kind of like OS spoofing capability, which might make it a little bit easier to fingerprint users, because you can, through deduction, maybe isolate down a little bit further, because now there's a unique identifier about you as you're using the Tor network. And there's a really good video by Sam Bent on his YouTube channel. He used to be called Doing Fed Time, and he does a deep dive into it. And I just thought it was really good. And it's just something to kind of be aware of. And I traditionally use Tor through Hunix on through VirtualBox. It just kind of works for me. Yeah, Tails is probably a great way to go, but I do a lot of research, and I'm copying, pasting, and I'm doing notes. I don't need it to be ephemeral. So Tails is great if you just want to get on the dark net with just off a USB. And once you close it or unplug it or turn it off, it's basically as if it never, ever happened. That's probably the safest way to use Tor, likely. Or even using like CubesOS and other things, there might be some persistence within memory that could leave a trace. But traditionally, Tails is the way to go. Like I said, I use primarily when I'm doing research, I'm using Hunix personally. But that's just because I'm on my desktop. I'm not doing anything really crazy. I'm just researching. I'm trying to just reduce my surveillance footprint, if you will, and that just kind of allows me to not even think about it. I've got two VMs running. One is the workstation, and then you have the server. So you don't really do anything in the server. It's basically just running the Tor connection, and then you launch the workstation. You do everything in there. It's two different VMs running side by side. So this wouldn't really like necessarily impact me, but there's a lot of people who do use Tor, don't have, you know, these capabilities, and they'll just download the Tor browser and use that. And now the OS is going to be transmitted in those HTTP headers. So if someone's trying to isolate users and they have, you know, they're looking at traffic from entry nodes, relay servers, and exit nodes, it's not a step in the right direction. It's a step in the wrong direction, in my opinion. that's just something that I wanted to put out there and make people be aware of, because we talk a lot about privacy and security, and using Tor is a big part of that for a lot of us. And this is just something to keep in the back of your mind, like, okay, I do normally use Tor browser from like a Windows machine or a Mac or maybe Linux or something, but like, where do I want to run that from? Maybe you might get to change your workflow for that. So going into this next piece, and this might not be a very long podcast because my fingers are freezing right now. We're down into, what is it? We're at like 40... Okay, we're 49. It's not terrible, but it's a little chilly. It's a little breezy out. That's why I'm huddled up next to the truck, because I'm trying to like block the wind. I don't want it to go into the microphone. So I hope this podcast doesn't totally suck. So I want to get into this other topic. And this is pretty much like the main crux of like what this episode was going to be about for me. And that is the advantages of owning and hosting your own media. And I'm talking about music, movies, TV shows, photos, all that kind of stuff. Beyond just the practicality of it, sometimes the show that I like is, you know, available on streaming and sometimes it's not. Yeah. But also, there is so much tracking done with all of the streaming stuff, and not just the streaming stuff, but even things that people may take for granted, like Apple Podcasts. If you use the Apple Podcast app, if you're an iOS user, I would switch to a different app, preferably an app that supports podcasting 2.0. But, you know, even just using something like Podverse, if you're on Android, AntennaPod is fantastic. There's some other great solutions. I use Fountain a lot. I know it's not open source, but I use it because it's on the Lightning Network and I can boost sats to my favorite hosts and things. And I know you can do that on others as well. It's just that Fountain is like, this works better for me as a podcaster because I can interact with boosts and comments and things. And it also plays nicely with Noster. Noster, I've talked about in the past, basically is a protocol, and you can connect it to a Bitcoin Lightning wallet and basically transfer sats to your favorite artists, musicians, podcasters, things of that nature. But if you're using any of the traditional big tech podcast apps, they are tracking what you listen to, how long you listened to it, and have a record of all of that. And that may like not mean much, but you know, sometimes you might listen to some weird stuff, or maybe that's just not no one's business what you're listening to. And I kind of feel that way about music, because I have been a long time Spotify user and still am. But also I'm dipping my toe into the audiophile world, and I have all my CDs from when I was a teenager. I still have them all to this day. And I have re-ripped all of my CDs as uncompressed FLAC audio. And I'm putting them on my server. And I'm using different apps. I'll get into that another time. But I'm using different apps to stream it. So I'm also listening with wired headphones, with a DAC. You know, I'm kind of enjoying uncompressed audio. I also just recently bought a very nice, through a estate sale, record player for those that are into vinyl. I'm not into vinyl. I'm getting into it because I'm starting to appreciate what it means to tangibly own your media. Because not only is it just something that I don't necessarily want Spotify to know what I'm listening to, so they can tailor more ads to try to sell me concert tickets or whatever the hell, you know. And I'm not saying I'm canceling Spotify tomorrow or anything like that. But I want to get to that in a second. But it makes me appreciate the music a little bit more. It makes it more purposeful rather than just putting on a playlist because I'm driving or something in the background, which is okay. But now I'm actually taking the time to sit down and listen to music again, like I did when I was a teenager in the 90s. And I didn't have social media. I didn't have ubiquitous internet. So listening to a CD or sometimes a tape, mostly CDs by that time, was a hobby. It was actually something I really enjoyed. It wasn't just something I had always playing in the background necessarily. And Another advantage is the, you know, no one can remove the content when you own it. So I don't know if you remember during the pandemic, I think it was Neil Young who got really peeved at Spotify because, I don't know, it was something to do with Joe Rogan. I don't really know the details. But for whatever reason, he got peeved and he had his whole discography pulled off Spotify. So if you were a Neil Young fan, you couldn't listen to him if all you had was Spotify. But if you had his albums, you could listen to him all you want. And I guess that's kind of like more what I'm kind of talking about is there. I can't tell you how much content that I have got hooked on watching through one streaming service or another and then gone back to it like a year later to rewatch it. West Wing is a perfect example. West Wing is one of my favorite all-time shows. Aaron Sorkin, amazing writer, especially the first 3.5 seasons when he was doing like lots of copious amounts of cocaine. Best writing. But it was on Netflix and then it was off and then it was on, and it was off. And I just got irritated. So I finally just bought the set and ripped it, and I can watch it whenever the hell I want to. And when I say ripped it, you know, to my server that I have Jellyfin and Plex running on, so I can watch it on my TV and stuff like that. So I kind of just, you know, I've already kind of been down that rabbit hole for a long time on the video side, and now I'm coming around on the music side. And it's getting easier now than ever to host your own media, your own content, and store it, build a NAS, back it up. You know, you want to have a plan. Like, you don't want to just jump into this stuff willy-nilly, but it's also getting much, much easier to start going down this path. So that might be your photos. That's a big one, right? People traditionally use like Google Photos or Apple Photos or something of that nature. But you have to pay monthly, traditionally, right? Unless you only have like a few and you're on the free plan, good for you. Most of us that take tons and tons of photos have to pay for storage. And that's the thing. Like, these are your memories. This is content that you created. And now you're just going to, in perpetuity, pay a company just forever to store it. And that's just like insane. On top of the privacy aspect of it, you don't know who has access to those. You don't know if you delete them, if they're really deleted. Apple's had this problem multiple times where people have like had photos pop back up into their photo stream that they had deleted. And this is serious because, like, you know, you might be in a relationship with somebody and you're taking photos and then you break up and you delete those photos. And now you're with somebody new and 2 or 3 years goes by and all of a sudden these photos from way back when are popping up in your photo stream. Like, you got some explaining to do. What's going on here, right? And, you know, the fact that, like, you deleted them and they weren't really gone, that's concerning. So what do we do about this, right? Okay, if you say like, oh, I really like to, you know. So also, too, the hunt for music has been kind of fun. Like, there's coffee shops around where I live where I'll pop into once a week and get a cold brew, you know, with that whole milk dropped in top with some ice. They have vinyl there, used vinyl, and I can like actually look at it and consider buying it because I'm like, I can play this. And if I buy it, it's mine forever. And somewhere in the last 10 or 15 years, we got duped by all these companies to just get rid of, jettison all your physical media and just pay a monthly subscription, which, don't get me wrong, is far more convenient. And you may live a kind of lifestyle that doesn't allow you to have like a lot of space for storing CDs and movies and vinyl or whatever. I get it. I really do. But I think that there's some, for me, I'm not trying to own all the music, just my favorite music. So I own all of the Beastie Boys CDs, and I even have some like Beastie Boy vinyl records, U2, like I've got like some favorite bands, punk bands, Nirvana, Bush, like, you know, stuff that kind of mostly from the 90s, early 2000s, a lot of rock, alternative hip hop. Like, I have favorite music. I'm not trying to I'm not trying to store all country music because I don't really like a lot of country music. So it's kind of a little different where it's like if I want to listen to it, I'll go stream that, right? I'll pay to stream some music. But I don't necessarily, and if I want it, if I love something enough, I'll just buy the album, right? There's all sorts of cool websites online where you can buy high quality audio. The artists get a better cut. So if you're buying stuff from like Bandcamp or other music services where you now can download oftentimes uncompressed audio and store it, and now it's yours. You have it, right? You're not just paying to stream their music. You're paying to listen to their music anytime you want to. You don't own it, right? You're not obviously the copyright owner, but you basically bought a license in perpetuity that you don't have to pay for every month. And that's the difference, is like, start thinking about this, right? Like, how many different streaming services do you pay for? And if you think like, well, yeah, and they're never going to be cheaper. They're always going to get more expensive. They always go up. I mean, nothing's going to get cheaper. I mean, just to beat out inflation, you can't expect it to be the same or cheaper ever. So do you just want to pay for the next 20, 30, 40, 50 years, however long you're going to be alive, to access this information? I mean, start totaling the dollars. Because I know that's like a big like threshold for people. It's like, well, if I bought a NAS or bought a computer or a server, like that's a lot of money to spend, like, you know, $800 on a computer with hard drives to store all this stuff. Is it though? Because like, total up the amount of money you're spending on streaming, look at what you're listening or watching to on streaming, and start doing the math, because you may actually end up paying magnitudes more in the long run than if you were to buy a server and start curating your own content, buying CDs, buying vinyl, buying digital downloads that you can download that are not protected by some sort of DRM like Amazon has moved to. Amazon just made the move with their ebooks. And here's the crazy thing, right? You may buy a book or a movie. Sony has been a massive culprit of this. And then they can yank it anytime they want. So even though you bought it, like not just rented it, not just streamed it, like you bought it. You might have paid $20 so that you could watch it anytime you want to or more. And then they can just, oh, well, our agreement's changed with that production house or with that distributor of that content, so we just removed it from our catalog. Sorry, tough shit. Sorry. What you gonna do about it? Nothing, because it's in the terms of service. There's nothing you can do. But if you were to buy the DVD or buy a CD or buy vinyl or something like that, or buy the digital download and store it yourself, it can't be removed. Like, no one can take that from you. And to me, that's kind of like where the power of the individual sovereignty comes back. Like, I have agency over like what I spend my hard-earned money on, and that it's just not taken away from me because some agreement changed somewhere that's out of my control. BS, dude. Not like, I'm over it. I'm just so frustrated. So I was going to talk a little bit about my self-hosting. Sorry, I've been having a few beers, so I might be slurring a little bit. But yeah, so my self-hosting journey is been slow. It's been over the last like 4 or 5 years I've been working on this. Probably more intently in the last 4, I would say. So I initially started out with buying a used Dell Optiplex with an i7 processor and 32 gigs of RAM, no hard drives or anything, off of eBay for around, I think it was like $150 US. Bought some drives for it, installed Ubuntu server, and put Casa OS on there. And Casa OS is just basically it's a slick interface. You can manage everything through a web browser, and allows you to install things like Jellyfin, Home Assistant, Nextcloud, you know, Plex. So what I'm currently running on that particular server is exactly that. I'm running Plex, Jellyfin, Home Assistant for like home automation and like lights and stuff like that, Nextcloud, and Duplicati, which is basically just a backup application that allows me to back up that hard drive or the data on there to another machine. Since then, probably been about a year and a half ago, I purchased another Dell Optiplex, pretty much the same thing, $150, threw a drive in there. And that's running our Mastodon server. Actually, yes, that one's running our Mastodon server. And that one's running in my basement right now. So that's cool, right? So we're running our own Mastodon server, which you know, you may or may not care about. So then I've ran also other servers for like Bitcoin nodes and stuff on Raspberry Pis, but I eventually upgraded those to a Start9 server Pure, which runs like my Bitcoin node, a Lightning node, BTC Pay server, my Noster private backup. It runs another Nextcloud server, which Duplicati on my Casa OS server backs up to that one. It runs an Albi Hub, which is for a Bitcoin wallet. It runs SimpleX server. Ghost, which I'm experimenting with, it's an open source content management system similar to WordPress, and I might move to that one day for closednetwork.io's website. But, you know, I'm just trying it out. Also running a Noster Wallet Connect and a Jam server on there. For work, I also have some Unify equipment, like a, you know, Unify NAS Pro and stuff. But what's in progress right now is I'm actually taking my old gaming desktop, which has been my Linux desktop for the last few years. It has an AMD Ryzen Threadripper 1950X in it, and it has 32 cores at 3.4 gigahertz. I have an AMD older graphics card. It's a RX Vega 64. And 64 gigs of RAM. I'm going to convert that. I'm actually going to make that a Proxmox server. And I am super excited to do that because that will allow me to now, rather than like if I want to do something like buy more servers, will allow me to just spin up a VM, a virtual machine, from a template, essentially, and run it in that machine. So, I kind of also want to experiment with running another open source NAS, like True NAS probably. But for now, this is the next step in my journey after almost 5 years, okay? So, like, I know there's a lot of stuff to think about and it's a lot of things to consider, but it's getting easier than ever, especially with things like Start9, Casa OS. I know I'm missing some. There are some, Umbral. I have another actually Umbral server, which is running on a Raspberry Pi. Umbral is just kind of similar to Casa OS. You just set up a Linux server, you run one command, and then boom, you just log into a web interface and start configuring and setting things up. So I just want to like empower people to feel like getting technical, I guess, more than anything else. Things... like, I feel like as things become easier, the technical part of things people don't really have an interest in. Used to be when you would have a desktop computer, you would buy external hard drives to back things up to, like your photos and stuff, and you'd label them or whatever. Before that was zip drives or CD burners or DVD burners. And we got very, I mean, don't get me wrong, it's very convenient to have everything in the cloud, sure. But I think the disconnect was, why not build your own cloud or have your own cloud at home? Everything got moved to this like, oh no, just pay Google, pay Amazon, pay Microsoft Azure, you know, whoever, Apple, iCloud. Things became like very, and it's orchestrated. It's all done through marketing. It's like, oh, you just, you know, you only have to pay us like 10 or 15 bucks a month and we'll handle all your data for you. Well, there's a lot of people out there who have had a lot of data loss with these companies. And also, if you violate the terms of service, they can lock you out of your data. And the thing about that is you might think to yourself, well, I don't violate the terms of service. Well, the terms of service can change. It could change one day to where the dank memes that you save are now questionable and could flag your account for memes. Right? These are the types of things that you have to kind of think about. And I don't know. I just kind of took pause a couple years ago with that and started pulling all my data out. And unless you're using something like that's end-to-end encrypted where no one has access, like NT Photos is a great example. No affiliation. I do use them as a safety net. So because I have multiple devices, multiple phones and things that of that nature, I do use NT Photos because sometimes not all my setups are exactly the same. So if I have photos or screenshots of a receipt or something, I want everything backed up. So sometimes it's good to have a fail-safe or a safety net. Yes, I pay like 10 bucks a month for NT Photos, and I'm okay with that because that's my choice. I'm choosing to do that as a safety backup. It's also end-to-end encrypted. No one can access those photos but me. So I'm okay with that. But there are some other solutions. Like I know Proton has been rolling out some new tools. I'm a little behind on everything Proton is offering, but if that is a route that is more palatable, like consider that. Consider moving your password manager to your email. You know, even though I know in the past, and I still live by this today, I don't like all my eggs in one basket, yada, yada, yada. But for a lot of people who are not very technical, that might be a really good path to go, which is moving to services that respect your privacy, but have good security as well, and have end-to-end encrypted solutions. There's more and more of them popping up all the time, and I love to see it. And those are the types of things that I want to go down the road and make content on specifically and like kind of drill down into that. That stuff, like, I will do like YouTube, or maybe you'll just post it on the Patreon. By the way, you don't have to be a paying member to be on the Patreon page. You can join for free. The second thing is I'm actually going to get some help with a newsletter. I don't know if you've ever noticed. Some people have. Actually, quite a few. We have a few hundred people signed up on our newsletter. Never sent one out. So if you go to closednetwork.io, right now it's just set up through MailChimp, and I know that's not like ideal. It's just that it was free. And it was I didn't know if it would even be viable. I'm going to try to find a way to do a self-hosted, privacy-respecting way, but just sign up with an email alias. You know, it's fine. But I want to start doing, at least start a monthly newsletter, because there's so much content that I never really get to in the podcast episodes. Otherwise, it'd be like hours and hours long. And I kind of want to try to like highlight those stories or highlight that content. So I think what I'm going to do is put the content over on the forum and then include that in the newsletter. So if you're not on the Patreon, that's okay. It's going to come out in the newsletter. So maybe join one or the other. Either way is fine. If you don't, that's totally cool too. Like your prerogative. I'm just trying to find the easiest ways to get information out. Especially with the things I'm working on in the next coming months with interviews and deep diving into software stacks and like self-hosting stuff or in communication. We're looking at possibly moving away from Matrix this year. We might move to a self-hosted Matrix. We might move to something else. We might move to XMPP server, something of that nature. Not totally sure. We're working through this stuff. But you know, there's just so many things that are moving all the time and it's hard to keep track of stuff. And I thought, okay, well, if I put it on the forum and shoot it out in a monthly newsletter, eventually maybe, you know, biweekly or something like that, would maybe be like an easy way. Cause I also don't want to bombard people. I don't want to, you know, I would never send you anything that would like, I wouldn't want to receive myself. So yeah, I don't know. I think this is kind of like where my head is at right now. We obviously there's a big focus on like things that we do to protect privacy and security, but this is kind of like covers a different area that overlaps in the same regard, where it's like, why do we do all of this? What is agency anyways, right? I've talked about this in the past. Like, what does it mean if it's not your data? When I say your data, like on your machine, on your physical hardware, it's not your data. It's somebody else's data. You just put it there. And with third-party doctrine and everything, you don't have any rights at all to that. Your photos, your documents, they don't belong to you if they're not on your server. The same goes for media. The same goes for movies and TV shows, music. If you don't have it somewhere, either tangibly or digitally, that you can call up whenever you want, then it's not yours. Back in the day, you could go buy a CD, take it home, listen to it anytime you want. You could lend it to a friend. You could swap them, right? We don't have that kind of ability anymore. Everything is locked in to an app, to a sign-in, to a license. Even just back in 2022, Netflix posted a tweet that says, you know, sharing your password is caring. Right. And now they don't. No. Everything's locked down. There's no sharing passwords and stuff. There is no sharing. Like, you buy a physical book and you read it and you give it to a friend. You're like, hey, yeah, read this and let me know what you think. And then they can give it back. You could sell it. It's content that basically belongs to you. Now, you're not the owner of the content, but you're the owner of the medium the media itself. And like, that's kind of what I'm trying to get back to. And I know it's kind of crazy because it's kind of like going more analog than anything else to a degree. But it makes me also appreciate things more. Like, I appreciate the listening experience. I bought some Audio Technica headphones and R50Xs or something. They're fairly new. They're rated really high they weren't very expensive. And I just bought a decent DAC, which is a it's a dongle, essentially. Converter. It's a converter. So it takes a digital and converts it to an audio or an analog signal so that you can use regular wired headphones like open back or close back, whatever, IEMs, whatever you like to listen to music with. And I find that I'm really appreciating it like I did when I first started really listening to music and exploring bands. And now, don't get me wrong. I mean, I know it's easy. It's kind of cool to explore and find new bands and stuff through life. And I'm not dogging on Spotify or Amazon Music or Deezer or Tidal or whatever. I'm not. But you basically are locking yourself into a lifetime of subscription fees. And after 10, 15, 20, 30 years, the moment you stop paying, you don't have anything. Like, you have to always pay. And I'd rather pay now and own it forever and listen to it whenever I want to than the other way around. And the same goes for movies and, like I said, TV shows. And I know this, you know, some of you may not really care that much. Maybe it's not really your thing, and that's totally okay. But the same philosophy applies to your personal data and your photos and your documents and everything else that you have, is that if it's not on your device, it's not your data, not your keys, not your Bitcoin, right? So yeah, that's the main gist of this. And it's and there's some great conversations that we have in the Matrix chat to solutions where you can really easily retain all of your documents, like Paperless NG and a couple other ones that I plan to run inside Proxmox, so that I can basically scan all my business documents and personal documents and get it all digitized. And it does OCR, so it indexes it. It can read it. And then I could even run my own local LLM and point it to that. So I can even say, like, hey, you know, what did I spend on this and this from this time to this time? You know, you can actually start using it all running locally. There's great power in that. I would never want to send that information to the cloud. I would never want to send that to like ChatGPT or Perplexity or all these, you know, for-profit, you know, steal all your data companies. I would never want to do that. So, that was the whole main focus of this, is to be out in the woods, kind of be connected with the analog outside next to a creek with the bugs flying in my face and the moths flying around the lights that I have around my campsite. And yeah, I also brought some music to listen to, so I'm going to do that. Just kind of enjoy the experience. And that's really what, you know, this whole kind of feeling was about. So, hey, let me know what your feedback is. Shoot me an email. Jump in the chat. Simon@closednetwork.io is my email address. Let me know your thoughts, like what your game plans are, because I'm also curious, and I'd like to maybe get, you know, whoever's willing to come onto the podcast as a guest to maybe talk through your own individual journeys, because I think it would really help. It would help me. I think it'd help yourself, and I think it'd help other people understand some of the challenges that maybe you face, the frustrations that you deal with when trying to move email or trying to move your phone number. Maybe you're making that big step and you're moving to a Pixel with Graphene OS and you're leaving Android or iPhone behind. You know, I don't know. These things aren't necessarily easy. That's why most people don't do it. It's way easier to have a normie phone and pay the cloud services and just, you know, put your head in the sand. And that's okay too, right? I mean, this has to be something that you want, that you have to want. But it does take more effort. You do have to work for it. But the payoff is so rewarding. And it gives you so much feeling of control back over your life, or at least it does for me, in a way that makes you like not feel like you're just being totally taken advantage of as a number, a walking dollar sign to big tech companies. And I don't know, there, you know, maybe that doesn't motivate you. Maybe there's a different, you know, motivation there, and that's totally cool. But I'd like to know what they are. And so if that's something you think you might be interested in, then reach out to me and let me know. Because I'd like to be putting that together over the next like couple of months, is putting, you know, not like, you know, anything serious, just kind of a conversation, you know, call it an interview, but it's really a conversation about where you're at and like what is motivating you to take this journey into privacy and security and understanding like how these different services that we've become so beholden to have really kind of started owning us, as opposed to us owning ourselves and being in control. So yeah, I've got some other stuff for another podcast I'll be doing shortly, but this one was the Wookiee in the Woods. This is the experiment, and if you want to see any of the behind the scenes video, I'll put up probably on the Patreon first, and we'll probably also over on the forum under the show notes for this episode. Might take me a little time to get that up there before we have to come back and check it later. But if you pop over to the Patreon, which is on the website, everything is at closednetwork.io. If you just go to closednetwork.io, you can get to Patreon, you get to Matrix, you can get to the forum, you can get to Mastodon, you get to, you know, the Matrix chat room, you get to everything from there. So that's the only website you have to remember. I try to make it really easy, even though I bounce all over the place all the time. So I hope you're all doing well. I don't have my outro music on the podcaster, so I'm just going to have to say, thank you all. I appreciate you, and thank you for listening. And I hope you find value in this episode. And I will catch you in the next one on episode. Well, this one was 45, so I'll catch you in 46. And yeah, I hope you're doing well. Take care.